the Path of Reason. This is Adam, and joining me is Derek.
Hello.
We just want to apologize for not posting anything for quite some time, just because we've been both pretty busy. Life has gotten crazy for me. I had a 7-year relationship end recently, so that's been very distracting, to say the least. And I'm just finally starting to come around and being able to get back into the swing of things. So
if there are any cool single atheist girls out there, feel free to send us an email.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But anyway, recently, actually, Adam had a chance to come down and visit me in Texas. And just the other day, we went to the University of Texas in Austin, and we got the chance to see Richard Dawkins give a lecture on the God Delusion. And it was amazing,
yeah, to
say the least. Actually, the funny thing was is that the auditorium, I guess, fit about, what they said, like 2,100 people, I guess.
Right.
But there were way more people than that. And surprisingly enough, in Texas, there were no protesters outside. I saw nobody with signs, nobody walking up trying to hand out religious flyers. It was insane. It almost seemed like everyone in the crowd was an atheist. I know everyone had a copy of one of his books in line, and it didn't really seem like there were anybody like who wasn't a fan of his. I mean, he got standing ovations. People were clapping after everything he said.
Oh, yeah.
His points were awesome. I mean, it was most of the stuff was basically things we already knew if you've read The God Delusion, but still, it was great to hear him speak live.
Right. Yeah, and it was more like a, it's strange because it was more like a rock concert atmosphere. Just the way, like, the anticipation and, like, the merchandise outside, the t-shirts with the tour dates on the back. And when he was on stage, there was this one guy who yelled out, like, "Professor Dawkins, you're my hero!" And he just, like, laughed and walked off stage. It was funny.
Yeah.
Everyone was really cool there. Very nice and just interesting to hear other people's experiences with atheism and their backgrounds. And I don't know. I thought that pretty much everyone there seemed to open up pretty easily. You know, it almost seemed like family, you know, like everyone's just talking to each other and we have no idea who these people are. We've never met them before, but everyone was like really nice.
Yeah. I really liked the, you know, the Q&A part when, you know, they were talking about how atheists should unite in a sense and how some atheist groups organize for very trivial things, but how we should focus on things like why churches have tax-exempt status instead of crossing out God out of dollar bill or something. We should try hard to make massive change because the Christian propaganda machine has the ability to just, like, pump these books and these magazines and these flyers and everything out that they can do to get people to come to their church.
Yeah.
Because they have tax-exempt statuses and stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be cool to look into to see what we can do about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it was interesting when his, like, PowerPoint presentation, he was going through the whole list of different books as, like, rebuttals to the God Delusion. It was crazy how many, like, one after the other. It's just ridiculous.
I bet none of them actually answer anything or actually make a point.
No.
To anything he wrote, yeah.
Yeah, of course not. I'm sure they haven't sold millions of copies like his, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. He also signed a couple books for us. The Prince of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. We got a chance to give him one.
Yeah, the icon that I made. He appreciated it.
If anyone runs a, you know, an atheist organization of any kind, or you want him to speak at your schools, check his website. Try to contact him. You know, organize it, make it happen. Richard Dawkins, I mean, he's trying to educate the world, so...
Yeah, he mentioned that a lot, the whole consciousness raising.
Yeah, consciousness raising, being enlightened. trying to raise people's consciousness just a little bit by showing them small examples.
Right. And the whole thing with, like, he went over the whole thing about the kids labeling children by the religion of their parents, you know, like a Christian child, a Muslim child.
And yeah.
Gave the different examples, like an atheist child, a secular humanist, and, you know, like the different terms even for atheists. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. He said there's no such thing as a 4-year-old Christian, a 4-year-old Muslim, a 4-year-old, right. You know, Hindu.
That's like one of the toughest points, but it's still completely valid, and I agree with it. But honestly, I think it's almost impossible to break that habit. I mean, personally, and I think other atheists who agree with him will, you know, when in that circumstance, will actually say, no, it's not a, you know, you shouldn't call it a Christian child. It's a child of Christian parents. You know, the child isn't old enough and doesn't have the capacity to make its own decision about
yeah.
it. And basically the way that I think it's what makes it so hard is the fact that the parents believe in this religion, and it's their outlook on life. It's their concept of reality. It is truth to them. It is what is real, you know? So it only makes sense in a weird way that they convey that to their children, because they see no problem with it, because that's what life is, you know? There's no questioning involved. Like, that's what they have come to learn, and I think that, you know, that's going to be the hardest thing to break the habit of. Especially for Christians, you know, the people who are religious. I mean, sure, atheists can say, you know, make the distinction, but I wonder if it'll actually, you know, bear any fruit.
Yeah, and actually, in a lot of ways, it's also, like, if you have atheist parents, although they might be, you know, more open-minded as to having their child study other religions, they will also probably say to their child, these people have an imaginary friend, and it's like, that, you know, there is no such thing as God. I mean, these people, these religious groups worship these gods, but that none of them are real.
Right.
And it's still almost giving a biased point of view on things, you know?
Right. But you would never hear them say, this is, my child's an atheist.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, a child is a child. Learning, you know, that's all they are until they're an adult.
Yep. At what age do you think a child has the capacity to understand and make a decision?
That's hard to say. Because, you know, technically you say when you're 18 you're an adult, but I don't believe that. You know,
yeah.
I didn't feel like I was fully an adult until I was like, I don't know, like definitely after 21, you know. Maybe maybe I'm just slower or something, but I didn't feel like I really had a grasp, a like solid grasp of who I was and what I thought about things until, man, not even that long ago, you know, like until I actually started to learn about this kind of stuff, atheism and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which was only a few years ago, so, you know, it's like, it's different for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
What about you? I mean, what?
Well, I just think, I don't know, because I've met some intelligent, you know, 10-year-olds before, and I mean, but then again, I've also met, you know, really ignorant young kids. It's just, I mean, I think it all depends on the, you know, child's awareness and education. I mean, usually, in most cases, you know, young kids don't really care about reading books like The God Delusion or, you know, reading religious texts to compare and contrast. They're more interested in playing with, like, you know, toys and stuff. So I think probably, I mean, I don't know, because I think religion markets itself towards children and young kids so heavily that, you know, it starts that process of indoctrination when they're really young.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's simple, you know. A child's innocent. A child believes things on authority. because they trust their parents and their teachers, so
you know,
they're bound to believe whatever they tell them.
To me, I think getting away from my parents and family helped me start to come into like my own, so to speak, and right. educate myself, because I was so surrounded by a Christian lifestyle and I had it like forced upon me, and I wasn't even aware of it in a sense. I just thought, hey, this is the way, everyone else is wrong, Christianity is right, my parents are right. But then you start to see, like, you know, other religions in the world and other, you know, children who are like, no, Islam is the right way. And you're like, whoa, hold up. Why do you believe this nonsense? And then you're like, oh, wait, there's millions and millions and millions of you who believe the same thing, right. the same way. It's like, what? But my parents said, and I know God's real because people were dancing and jumping around in church, and that's clear that the Holy Spirit is moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
no, it's not proof of anything. If anything, it's mass hysteria. Euphoria.
Right. Well, when we're younger, you know, we live sheltered lives, and that's why usually when younger people go off to college, it's when they really, you know, sort of get a dose of the real world.
Yeah.
You know, of different, a new variety of people with different backgrounds and beliefs and perspectives on life. And
yeah.
also if they take, you know, take a religious studies class or a class on philosophy, that will do a lot to open their minds up, you know. So that's
yeah.
when they truly get a chance to just step outside their previous life and sort of evaluate things from then.
Yeah, although we hear a lot lately that people think that this form of new atheism is more or less restricted to the college level of you know, people, like, it's just a phase that students, you know, people, once they get to college, they take a couple of philosophy classes, that they go through this atheism phase, but will eventually realize that Jesus died for our sins and that we're wrong and that it's just a rebellious phase. Like, I've never even looked at atheism as a type of rebellion. I look at it more of as, you know, a conscious awakening in a sense. Like, I don't feel like I'm rebelling against anyone.
Right.
I'm just educated.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the whole enlightenment thing. Like you said, an awakening, realization of reality, you know, and using science and reason to understand the world around us.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen time and time again Christians in America, like, make the claim that we're just doing it to rebel against God, but atheism isn't so much of a rebellion. It's just that, you know, we aren't going to be dishonest with ourselves. We're not, like, we see the evidence. Yeah, we could sit around reading Christian apologetics day in and day out, like all you Christians do, just sitting there filling your brains with excuses from Christian writers with no education except for Oral Roberts University.
Yeah.
And yet when we have massive piles of scientific evidence against everything you have to say, you still would rather read apologetics than
right.
actually study our point of view. And that's where we differ, because we know religion. I've read the Bible front to back over and over and over again. I study, I read Christian books even to this day, and now I just pick them apart, like people like Josh McDowell. You know, he
yeah.
wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I can't even read that entire book without laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
And Christians are like, oh, but have you read Josh McDowell? Yeah. Like, do you understand? He has a law degree, you know, and it's like, what does he know about, you know, texts and evidence? You know what I mean? Like, how does he differ from someone like Bart Ehrman, you know?
Right.
Or Hector Avalos, who actually can read these texts in their original languages and who have, you know, studied them, whereas somebody, some Christian pastor one day just decides, I'm going to write a 400-page book refuting the God delusion just based on my own opinions. Like, oh, God is real because one day I was praying and I felt him. Like, are you retarded?
Yeah.
It's like writing a book about, you know, like a book, you know, from a schizophrenic's point of view, refuting natural selection or something. It's like, you know, the Schizophrenic's Guide to Natural Selection.
Yeah.
A good example, I don't want to, like, go off on too much of a tangent here, is that the other day in a, I think it was, like, an atheist forum somewhere, a Christian had posted a link to some study that they were doing at New York University where they proved that demonic possession is real. And that scientists say that, you know, they couldn't account for the behavior and the brain scans. And they quoted and listed a couple of doctors that had supposedly written this article who are from New York University.
Yeah.
Well, I, like any skeptic, typed in the names of these people in the actual New York University directory, and they have never existed. The doctors were totally made up.
Wow.
Yet we find crazy. This article on a Christian website where Christians read this, are like, oh, obviously it's proof, scientific proof that demonic possession is real. All you have to do is cross-reference it with reality. Check the names of the people. Check the names of the events. See who these people really are. And I searched and searched and searched. And you can even make a call to the college and say, does Professor so-and-so actually work here? And if they're like, no, the article is a fake. I mean, Christians and Muslims and religious people don't realize how many lies are thrown at them that are so easy to, like, fact check and cross reference, but they don't. They just take it for, you know, it's fact. Like, it has to be true. It's in Answers in Genesis.
Right.
It's gotta be true because a Christian wrote it, and that's a stupid mentality. And I think that that's a big reason why a lot of people, like, don't seem to grasp what we're trying to do, because all they got to do is Google something and they're like, oh, well, in Answers in Genesis, it clearly states that God created the earth in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Therefore, it's got to be true.
Yeah.
It's on a Christian website. Duh.
They wouldn't believe in their religion in the first place if they actually did research. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't care so much about textual criticism and all that sort of thing, because they're in love with the idea as it's evolved throughout history, you know, because the original Christianity is nothing close to what it is now.
Yeah.
And what it is now is more accommodating to the modern lifestyle in many ways, but that's what people care about, that's what they believe in. That's why it's not important to them to read the Bible, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know.
Yeah.
But so that's why it's not surprising that they don't fact check or anything like that, because if they did, then they'd end up like you and me, probably. I mean, not all the time, but you know, that's what happened to us. So
it feels like modern Christianity, at least in America, is heading more towards the Christianity is just about your personal relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what anything history says. It's just about your own personal relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Forget the Old Testament. Forget the bad things in the Bible. Just focus on the good things Jesus said. Because they know how screwed up it is.
Right. It's just incompatible with their new idea of Christianity. So they just choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
Next, I just wanted to talk about a simulcast event being put on by firstfreedomfirst.org. It's an organization for safeguarding separation of church and state and protecting religious liberty. It's an event that's going to have actors, musicians, comedians from across the country. It's going to be on March 26th. Just looking at their site, it says, activists gather at theaters in 25 cities to put church-state separation on national agenda during 2008 election. And then it says, in movie theaters in 25 cities across the nation, interested citizens will gather to learn about the threats to church-state separation and to demand that presidential hopefuls and candidates for other offices answer questions about key issues dealing with individual freedom. It's titled, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About the Separation of Church and State, but Were Afraid to Ask. Apparently the MC of the program is going to be Peter Coyote. He's an actor and filmmaker. I don't know if you remember E.T., the guy who was always trying to find E.T. with the keys that jingled. You know that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy. And I guess, like, Kevin Bacon and his brother are going to be there doing a they're in a band or something they're going to be playing, and Michael J. Fox, Jack Klugman from The Odd Couple, James Whitmore from Shawshank Redemption, like, and a bunch of other people. Surprisingly, these are events that are put on, you know, by secular people as well as religious. And the Reverend Barry W. Lynn from Americans United, he's the executive director, says that this is a unique event that brings together celebrity commitment, civic engagement, and the latest technology. Presidential candidates have been asked what their favorite Bible verse is and what sins they have committed. I want to know where they stand on key issues of individual freedom. This simulcast will tell us how to find out that information and give us an entertaining evening to boot. So I'm going to put a link to the website so you can check it out, and there's a petition that you can sign to join in and support this event. It looks like it's not playing anywhere near me, of course, because I live in upstate New York. The closest place to me is in New York City, but Derek, there's one showing in Austin at the Metropolitan Stadium 14 at 5 p.m., but I don't know if you're going to be busy. Anyone else, if you want to check it out, they have a map that gives all the locations across the country where you can watch this in the movie theaters and just discuss the importance of separation of church and state and how we really need it to bring this issue to the attention of the presidential candidates especially.
Yeah. So. I agree. So they asked the presidential candidates what their favorite Bible verse is.
Yeah, apparently.
That's retarded.
Yeah, it's a waste of time is what it is.
It is. Man, I almost wish I was running for president. I would, like, quote the most idiotic Bible verse possible.
And that's why you'd never be president.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't even be able to run for president. Also, I'd like to mention that I'm going to be starting a local free thought group for Utica, New York. That's the city I live in. Well, sort of outside it, but it's the one that's closest to me. And there's no free thought groups that exist currently that I'm aware of. I've done searching online and stuff, but I know there's people who are definitely interested in becoming a part of something like that. But seeing as how I've never done anything like that before, if there's anyone out there who's started groups like that or runs groups like that, you know, maybe just send me an email through our website at pathofreason.com and just let me know, you know, how to organize it, maybe direct it. If you can show me any good websites that are, like, good resources for doing this sort of thing. But basically what I have in mind is, you know, the obvious things like just meeting up in one place regularly, organizing events, having discussions about relevant topics as far as atheism. So far, I know of two people that I work with who are interested in joining. So that's three so far. It's not bad. Not a bad start. I just have to get the ball rolling on the whole issue and figure out all the details.
Yeah, even if you start off with small meetups, like small little groups of 5 to 10 people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's really how it's going to start off, I think. For the most part, I think it's a primarily religious city, but...
Very Catholic.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot more free thinkers out there than is obvious, I guess. So if you want to join, if you live in the area and you'd be interested in joining, definitely get a hold of me. And if you want to help out in any way, just let me know through our website, send me an email, and we'll get things started on that.
Yeah. Any ideas, suggestions that you might have? If you currently run a free thought group yourself, feel free to, you know, give them some pointers.
Yeah, definitely.
Because in San Antonio, I mean, we have a couple groups. I mean, it's a bigger city and stuff, but we need to start taking these to the more rural areas, if you will.
Yeah, really any city.
Yeah.
Should have one.
Yeah, exactly.
While I'm working on starting this group here, The next thing I have in line is to finish an icon I'm working on that I want to donate to the American Humanist Association to raise some funds for them, because I'm a member and I really believe in what that organization does and stands for. But once I finish that, I'll work on the healthcare article that I mentioned a while ago. That's been a long time coming here, and that's definitely something I want to get done, and maybe even do a podcast on or something. Maybe interview some nurses, or even you, Derek, could help me out with that.
Yeah.
I think then I'll be able to work on starting that group and maybe even put a separate page for that group through Path of Reason as well, just to make it easier for people to get the information about it on the site as well.
We would like to be doing some more interviews and, you know, getting more guests on the show. It doesn't matter who, you know, just even if you have something to say, an opinion of some kind, feel free to let us know.
Right now we don't have the proper equipment to, like, do interviews through a phone line or anything like that, because right now we're just using Skype, and that's how I do podcasts with Derek. The sound of his voice goes right through the speakers into the mic that I'm talking into now, so... At the moment, that seems to be the easiest way to do this. So if you use Skype and you want to ask us a question, you know, we can set aside time and actually ask us questions through Skype. Or if you want to have a discussion about a certain issue, just let us know and we'll set it up.
Stay rational and keep educating yourselves and send us emails, post on our forums, read our articles. Let us know what you think. We want to hear some feedback.
Yeah, as always... Thanks for listening, and keep following the Path of Reason.